on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. My name is Luke Guerrero, and today's Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. December 10th. We don't got much shows left in 2025 because there aren't many trading days left in 2025. And as the year ends, I think we all get a little bit reflective. We start to reflect on the lessons we've learned, the mistakes we've made, hopefully the wins we have achieved, and try and find a way to carry those things into the new year. But for Invest Talk, we just continue. We continue our mission to make you a better and more informed investor. We will continue to bring you those educational items, that actionable material, those lessons, those warnings. We will continue to help you decipher what is noise, what is signal, and most importantly, what affects your life and what affects your portfolios. Now, I hope you did have a chance to participate in yesterday's wealth webinar. Justin and I shared some pretty important money saving information with regards to how one should be looking at their taxes and their tax situation at the end of the year. We shared and talked about some of the changes. We answered questions live from our audience. And if you were unable to make it yesterday, we have posted this wealth webinar, as we do with all of our webinars, on our YouTube channel. Just search Invest Talk with two T's. Now, just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down our show topics. But let's tackle this caller question now.
My question is, I have a lump sum and I'm trying to figure out what to put it in. I come across VSMIX, which is an ETF. And I was kind of looking at the portfolio. I like where it's at. I'm curious if I could please get your analysis on this. If I just put a lump sum into this, am I diversified enough? Just put it in there, let it ride, see how it goes. I'll be listening for your advice. Thank you.
Take a look at DFMIX. It is a mutual fund. It is run by Davidson. It is the Davidson Multi-Cap Equity Fund. Very, very small. Only about 150 million assets under management, and pretty darn expensive. 90 basis points net expense ratio, 1.05% gross. It's been around for a pretty decent amount of time, since October 28th of 2013. And returns over the past 10 years, pretty solid, 12.59% on an annualized basis. It gives you pretty broad large cap exposure. About 90% of the portfolio is in large caps, another 8.29% in mid caps, just a tiny bit in small caps, and across many sectors: technology, finance, healthcare, industrials. Well, how is this thing managed? It is an actively managed fund. It primarily invests in equities, it invests in REITs, and it focuses on companies that it deems has strong fundamentals. So they are emphasizing stock selection over sector weightings, meaning that performance can differ a bit, right? You're taking a lot of what is called active share relative to the market benchmark, meaning that performance can deviate greatly over time. And this name really only holds 51 names. You may recognize some of them: Alphabet, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Broadcom, Nvidia, Citigroup, Taiwan Semiconductor, Walmart. Those are 9 out of the top 10, which represent roughly 40% of the portfolio's weight. Doesn't look like it's equally weighted. I'm not sure how they determine what those weightings may be. Now, it's slightly underperformed the S&P 500 over the past couple years. Year to date, it's only up 11.91%. And over the past year, trailing 1 year, it's actually underperformed its benchmark by 8%. So just because there's a lot of names in something doesn't necessarily mean that it's broadly diversified. Looks like it's primarily U.S. exposure. Looks like it's primarily those mega cap names. And it isn't really giving you difficult to achieve exposure. So in my mind, it doesn't really justify the 90 basis point fee. Also, it's a mutual fund, not an ETF, meaning it is slightly less tax efficient. We can dive into all the reasons why if somebody's listening and wants to call in and ask that question. But either way, I think Davidson Multicap Equity Fund, which is a mutual fund, a bit too expensive for what you're getting. Thanks for the call. Got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, and here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this story. The discount retail signal is the consumer trading down. Dollar General has surged 14% after beating earnings, and this contrasts with luxury weakness and may signal a shift in consumer behavior. It's not the only thing we're going to be talking about today. We also got a couple more interesting stories, including a recap of the Fed's decision today and signals that may have been sent. We'll also touch on silver because there's been a lot of talk about gold, but not much about silver, and it has been surging in its own right. So we'll talk about those dynamics. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on what bond investors think about potential Fed changes. We also have some questions that came in to our voice bank, including one on Warner Brothers Discovery. I guess another one on Warner Brothers Discovery, because we did answer one of those a couple days ago. And another on UFPI, which is UFP Industries, as well as some questions that came into the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel, and hopefully some live calls throughout the show. We are going into a break, our first break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, call now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because when we come back, we're going to talk about today's market activity.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com, and while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions, 888-99-CHART. In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk a little bit about the market today. A decent day overall in the wake of the Fed announcement. The Dow is up 1.05%, S&P 500 up 68 basis points, NASDAQ up 33, Russell 2000 up 1.32%. Really marching a bit higher, finishing off of best levels just slightly. Some of the best performers included industrial names, machinery, transports, regional banks, private equity, and home builders. Big tech a bit mixed, Microsoft a notable decliner. Other underperformers included quantum computing, nuclear, hospitals, and networking. On the bond side, Treasuries a bit firmer. You did see some curve steepening in the wake of that announcement. Yields down 7 to 8 basis points at the front end and somewhere between 2 and 4 at the long end. Same time, dollar index was off 60 basis points. Gold finished down 30, and crude oil ended up 40 basis points, near the best levels following the announcement that the U.S. seized a Venezuelan tanker. As expected, the big focus was the Fed, right? Fed day tends to lend itself towards one singular focus. There was a 25 basis point rate cut, 3 descents, a bit of forward guidance tweak, and a plan to purchase a bunch of treasury bills. Developments, though, largely in line with expectations. Some of the balance sheet moves, a bit of a tailwind to risk sentiment, and Powell really seemed a bit less hawkish overall than expected, but we'll dive into that a little bit later on. When it comes to AI, obviously a powerful theme, some positive takeaways from recent earnings. Oracle, however, missing after the close, certainly down pretty sharply after that announcement, has since recovered a bit. AVGO tomorrow and the expected release of the new OpenAI model may dominate some of that AI conversation for the rest of the week. We also got a bit more sanguine messaging around consumers and credit from Goldman Sachs amid what has been a continued flurry of headlines about general levels of affordability and concerns about that. Looking ahead, initial claims for the week ended 6 December and September trade balance data will be out Thursday morning. There will be no data released on Friday, though Fed speak does return, given that the announcement was today. Looks like we got a live call, Mike, from Utah. How can we help you?
Yeah, hey, Luke. I was just calling on MVC Medtronics. It's a medical company, and it's based out of Dublin. It's about all that I really know about it. I've had it in my stock in my portfolio for a year and a half now, and it's done nothing but go up. And I was just kind of curious. I wanted your opinion on if it has more room to go up, and I should add more to it, or what you think about this stock.
Yeah, Medtronic PLC is a name that we are familiar with because we currently hold it in actually two of our strategies. So what they do is they design and develop a pretty broad array of medical devices for medical device therapy. So it operates globally. It is a solidly large company, about $129 billion market cap. Its balance sheet is pretty reasonable, only about $26 billion in debt. Now, in its most recent quarter, it's really delivered some pretty consistent upside. It has beaten expectations and advised analysts for a bit of an upward revision. And it's honestly trading at a pretty reasonable valuation too. 3x price to book, 17x price to forward-looking earnings, only about 4x price to sales. That's where the average has been over the past 5 years. And you've also seen a bit of margin expansion, right? EBITDA margin growing from 25.9% in 2024, expanding to 28.2%. Return on equity has been increasing pretty consistently as well. And so you can understand why this name has been doing pretty well over the past year. Year to date, it's up 26%, up 21% over the past 52 weeks. I think it's easy to tell from what I'm saying about this name that, you know, it has continued to be a reliable dividend payer. It's got about 2.8% dividend yield. It has a decent amount of growth that has picked up in the past couple years. And with those profitability metrics, I certainly think that Medtronic is a solid name, and that's why we hold it for our clients as well. Thanks for the call, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your
day. Awesome. Thanks, Luke. Yep.
Well, guys, as I mentioned earlier, I am not sure if you were able to make it to our InvestTalk Wealth webinar yesterday. But as we wrap up the year, I think everybody is dreading that one dirty word that nobody likes to deal with, but everybody has to: taxes. But there are smart ways. There are smart moves that you can make each and every year that can help you avoid paying unnecessary taxes. And the reason why we wanted to talk about taxes, which tends to be a bit of a boring subject, apologies to all my CPAs out there, is because 2025 is a special and unique year. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will be expiring at the end of the year. There are going to be changes in 2026 that you typically don't have to worry about at year end. And so now more than ever, it is critical to make sure that you are prepared, not just to file your taxes for 2025, taking advantage of everything that you can, but also prepared for what changes are coming in 2026. So if you didn't make the webinar yesterday, as always, as with all of our webinars, it is available on our YouTube channel, Invest Talk with Two T's. You'll see a quick presentation. You'll see some solid Q&A all throughout. And if any of that sounds interesting, if any of that makes you curious about your situation, head on over to investtalk.com and sign up for a portfolio review. Going into a break, my main focus point is next. Stay with me here on Invest Talk. The number of data breaches worldwide rises every year, going up by 211% from 2023 to 2024, due mainly to five mega breaches. Scams, identity theft, they all start with your personal data being exposed across various websites. It's on people search sites, in data broker databases, shady directories, AI answers, and even search results. That's the part most people don't see. Their home address, phone number, email accounts, and social security number aren't just leaked. They're being actively bought and sold by bad actors. But you can protect yourself now with Incogni. Incogni tracks down and removes your personal data from multiple sites, including online directories, people search sites, and even commercial databases. The Incogni process is fully automated for hundreds of known data brokers, companies that collect and sell your data without your consent. The categories of data brokers Incogni covers include marketing, recruitment, health information, risk mitigation, financial information, and people search sites. With Incogni, you can protect your privacy in three easy steps. Remember, they can't harm you if they can't find you. So, take back your personal data with Incogni. Use code INVESTTALK to get 60% off annual plans. Go to incogni.com/investtalk. You can also find the link in the episode description.
24/7, rain or shine, there's always value in the InvestTalk podcast. 888-99-CHART.
How is the consumer doing? And what can we learn from signals from discount retail stores? Well, the story unfolding in the discount retail space this week isn't just about two companies, right? It's not just about their earnings. It's a window into the changing behavior of the American consumer. Dollar General and Dollar Tree, who, yes, are two different companies, offered sharply different results. Dollar General posted a clean beat, and Dollar Tree came in a bit mixed as investors reacted just as sharply. But beneath the headlines, these numbers tell us something bigger about where shoppers are going and what they're buying and how household budgets are shifting in the end of 2025. Dollar General surprised the market with a 36% earnings beat, expanding gross margins by over 1% and sparking a 20% rally over two trading sessions. That margin expansion signals that the company has real pricing power. Customers are accepting higher margin items and inventory markdown pressure is easing. Same store sales rose, and some of their premium packaging and private label products did particularly well. Dollar Tree, on the other hand, grew faster on the top line, 9.4%, but it came with margin compression, a 40 basis point drop in operating margins despite strong seasonal performance. The multi-price strategy boosted average tickets by 4.5%, but it also raised the question of sustainability. Together, what is this saying? What do these results illustrate? Well, a key theme in retail right now is that shoppers across income levels, they're still hunting for value. I don't have to tell you that. You're probably experiencing that in your own life, and therefore, people are very selective about where they try and find it. And that leads to the real question many people have been asking. Why are higher income households showing up more at dollar stores. Now, the answer has a lot to do with habit formation, inflation psychology, convenience. Even affluent families have normalized seeking deals, and dollar stores offer quick trips with predictable pricing. When inflation stays elevated for multiple years, households aren't going to instantly revert to old spending habits. They keep looking for efficiency. They keep looking for discount channels. And so this shift becomes a bit more sustained. Dollar stores have also expanded their assortment in ways that appeal to these shoppers, especially in home goods, snacks, quick trip categories, making the stores a bit less stigmatized and more about convenience. These patterns are confirmed by broad retail numbers, which show that discretionary categories are cooling a bit, while essential-driven formats, so groceries, autos, discount retail, they're gaining wallet share. It's a sign that the consumer is still resilient, but highly value conscious, stretching every dollar even as wages are holding up reasonably well. Now, Dollar General's 4,885 planned real estate projects for 2026, this massive expansion, reinforce that demand is there, particularly in rural and underserved markets. The fact that Dollar Tree bought back $1.5 billion in stock, while Dollar General Priorities dividends also shows two different readings of the consumer, one betting on long-term profitability, the other on shareholder confidence. These results also feed into yet another question. Are dollar stores, are these types of stocks recession-proof? Now, no stock is perfectly recession-proof, but some of these stores are as close as you can get because this particular part of the retail sector benefits when consumers do what is called trading down, and their margins tend to improve when spending tightens. These companies historically perform in ways showing that during slower economic periods, same-store sales rise. People are using them as substitutes for supermarkets and big box retailers. But it's still a retail business, right? If consumers don't have money, they stop spending it. So I would say recession-proof isn't necessarily the right word. Maybe recession-resilient? Now, these earnings reports highlighted the difference between consumer staples and consumer discretionary stocks, something that many investors mix up. Staples are products people buy no matter what. So think toothpaste, I hope, cereal, detergent. Companies in these categories tend to generate steady, predictable cash flows. Discretionary goods are what I want to have, right? Your apparel, your electronics. Obviously, everybody needs clothes, but you don't need new clothes per se in any given year. Dollar General and Dollar Tree kind of operate in this hybrid zone. They sell staples, they sell discretionary names, and this mix kind of further diversifies their businesses. And so when the retail landscape right now is suggesting consumers are protecting their budgets, they're still spending. It is clear that they are still spending. For investors, the key takeaway is that consumer behavior is not signaling stress. In a way, it's signaling discipline, and the retailers that execute well on value and convenience will continue to win wallet shares. Both of these companies demonstrated in their own ways how to efficiently target consumers. And the broader message from these reports, it's pretty clear. The American consumer is adapting, not retreating. And the value segment remains at the center of that transformation. On the next Invest Talk, we'll have this topic on deck, the super catch-up, new 2026 401k limits. The IRS has officially announced that 2026 retirement contribution limits with the 401k cap rising to $24,500. But the big news is the super catch-up provision from Secure 2.0. That's tomorrow, but for now, I'm Luke Guerrero, ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART. This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
The official numbers are in. Now with 62 million downloads, Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast. Call anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Justin, Luke, Chuck and Clayton, thanks again for all you do. Question on UFP Industries, ticker UFPI. Had it for a few years now. It's been good to me, but lately it's been on a continuous decline, and it's about at its 52-week low. I bought it because I feel there's a housing shortage in the United States, and they supply building materials. And their secondary thing is constructing, packaging, shipping stuff, which I figure will always be shipping stuff. However, this continuous decrease has got me a little worried. They make money, but they've been making less and less money a year over the last few years. I wanted to get your feelings on it. Am I at a point where I should get out of this business, or am I at a point where I should start cost investing at this lower rate, expecting it to continue up, as we will need houses and we'll always need packaging? Looking forward to your answer on the podcast. Thank you.
Ticker UFPI is UFP Industries. It is a $5.1 billion market cap company. It's got very minimal debt, about $325 million in debt. Another thing it really doesn't have is revenue growth. They hit a peak in December of 2022. People were building a lot of things coming out of the pandemic. $9.6 billion in revenue that has since slid down to $6.6 billion last year. Projected to be $6.4 billion this upcoming year. At the same time, net income has been falling as well. Peaked again in that same year, December 2022. Has since fallen from $665 million. Projected to be $320 million this upcoming year. And it's not just about the total dollar value. You're seeing margins compressing, EBITDA margin down, EBIT margin down, net margin down, return on equity down, profitability metrics down. And it's still trading a bit above, from a relative valuation basis, the average of where it's been over the past 5 years. And so, yes, it is true that there is a massive, massive housing shortage, not just in the United States, but globally. But it is also true, and Jerome Powell talked about it today, that cost increases are appearing as a result of tariffs. And therefore, the input costs for companies such as this are going up as well. And when you have a lot of headwinds within the construction space, you have a lot of headwinds from, you know, packaging with global manufacturing, logistics demand, all of these things, then you add on input cost increases. This is what gets this margin compression. And not just margin compression, but the actual nominal dollar amount that you are earning in not just revenue, but bottom line earnings per share falling as well. And so this company struggled. It has struggled. It's been weak since about mid-2024. Year to date, down 19%. Over the past 52 weeks, down a whopping 30%. It's underperformed its industry this year by 15%. I just think there's a lot of headwinds. I always say it, that investing is about trying to find ways to put your finite capital to work. And so I think there are just other better opportunities here than UFPI. Thanks for the call. Let's keep things moving. Roll in another listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Matt in Miami. I wonder if you could take a look at three different copper miners for me. SCCO, FCX, and ERO. When I broke down the numbers of each of them, SCCO seems to be pretty favorable, and it's the largest miner with a decent amount of stability and growth. But I think it kind of ran up to a point where I'm almost wondering if I should wait on entering. The other company, ERO, is a much smaller one. and it actually has a really favorable forward-looking PE ratio, but it seems a little bit more unstable with it being a much smaller company and miner. And it's also mainly located in Brazil and doesn't seem as diversified. Just curious your take on this and look forward to hearing it on the podcast. Thank you so much.
So interestingly enough, we have recently been looking at miners and all three of these names popped up. So ERO is Ero Copper Corp. For those of you who want to look at this and screen grab it, there you can, Ero Copper Corp. Ticker ERO, follow along at home. Next one is Freeport McMoRan. We do own this in one of our portfolios, ticker FCX. The last one is STCO. We also own this in one of our portfolios. And so for us, amongst the three names, we like the first two for different reasons. Now, FCX has had a rough couple months because of an issue in one of their mines, which I believe was in Indonesia. I could be mistaken. Indonesia, correct. So it was in Indonesia. Part of the mine collapsed. They were uncertain about when they would be able to open it up again, when it would become fully operational, how much damage was actually done. And so they had a bit of a fall off down to about $41 a share, but it's since rebounded, right? They're trading at $46.45 per share now. Year to date, they're up 21.98%, up 3.5% in the past 3 months, up 8% in the past 52 weeks. Southern Copper, doing crazy well. It is a pure play, 63% year to date. It is just absolutely moving this year. And that's because it's heavily exposed to copper rather than a basket of metals. And so if you want a pure play, Southern Copper is one of the best ways to do it. It is the largest copper miner. FCX is more of a diversified global mining company. So copper is their focus, but they also have gold. They also have other metals. Its asset base is a bit more diversified. But there is that risk of, well, maybe they don't hit timelines with that Indonesian mine opening. For Ero, for me, it's a bit too small. It's a bit too undiversified. And especially with how difficult it is to get mines on board, to get mines open and moving, having a lack of diversity, not just in the mines themselves, but in regulatory exposure, regulatory risk, legislative risk, I don't think it's a real good way to go about investing in copper, really any miners in general. So for us, obviously, I'm going to say FCC or FCX and SCCO are solid companies because we own them for our clients. Thanks for the call. The Federal Reserve, big day for the Fed. They cut interest rates for a third straight meeting, lowering the federal funds rate to 3.5 to 3.75 is the range now, but also signaling it may now pause. Even still, though, there's still some divisions inside the committee. The vote saw three dissents, the most in 6 years, with two officials saying no cut was needed and one arguing for a steeper half-point move, underscoring the unusual split within the Fed. Now, policymakers framed the cut as insurance against a sharper-than-expected slowdown in hiring, even though inflation progress has stalled a bit. And several members pushed for a higher bar for future reductions. The chair himself defended cutting now, despite the limited data, which was delayed by the fall shutdown, suggesting that the labor market cooling may be deeper than headline figures indicate once overcounting is adjusted. And markets welcome the move, right? Powell did not sound as resistant to further easing as investors feared. Kind of helped the Dow notch its best Fed day gain since 2023. And the statement even dropped language describing unemployment as low after the rate rose to 4.4%. And officials slightly boosted next year's growth outlook, hoping cuts will stabilize hiring. New projections show most officials see no more than one additional cut next year, with 6 of 19 believing rates should actually finish higher than before today's move. Public speeches revealed an increasingly fractured committee, leaving Powell, whose term ends in May, to try and navigate these internal tensions while the president prepares to name his successor. Hawks warned that the Fed is easing into an economy stronger than it looks, risking renewed inflation as price pressures remain above target for a fourth straight year. Well, it does are countering that housing and labor have been weak. They show little benefit from higher rates and argue it's far costlier to fix rising unemployment than to battle inflation stuck around the 3% level. Longer-term borrowing rates in the wake of this really haven't fallen much. The 10-year treasury yield ended at 4.163%, limiting relief for mortgages and business investment, even as the federal funds rate declines. Now, with incoming jobs and inflation data set to land before the next meeting, Powell must signal and how the current cutting phase will continue. Is it over? While still leaving the door open in case the labor market cracks or inflation refuses to cool. Probably know by now that we get questions from the comment section of our Invest Talk YouTube channel from time to time, just like our live voicemails, because we understand a lot of these questions. We really have a time constraint to them being answered. We try to get to them as quickly as we possibly can. And this one is on ticker ELF, which is Elf Beauty. It says, hello, quick question on Elf Beauty products. I am down. I'm down about 15% and wondering, should I hold? They seem to issue a lot of shares. Debt is okay, though not great. Let's pull this up on my other screen. Take a look at that claim about them issuing shares. One of these days, I should really just record all the things that I'm seeing on my end so you understand how ridiculous my setup is. But anyway, ELF, ticker ELF, is a beauty company, Elf Beauty. So they have vegan, cruelty-free cosmetics and skincare products and primarily focus on e-commerce. That's really the driving force of their business. So, you know, they have their mass market channels as well as their international distribution as well. Year-to-date, down 37.38%, down 41.52% in the past 3 months. And what's really been driving it is, well, people are seeking more of a budget product, right? We always talk about affordability here because it affects each and every aspect of a lot of businesses. And when you have a specifically niche area, it can be a bit expensive. Now, in spite of that, adjusted EPS did beat analysts' expectations. Revenue did come in up 14.2% year over year, but gross margins have been compressing. Return on equity has been compressing, down from 24% to 14%. And price to earnings, price to book, price to cash flow, still pretty expensive, even though not expensive by the levels they've seen over the past 5 years. And so margin pressure starts to weigh, right? Consumer demand is incredibly sensitive. Volatility and swings are expected in this type of business when margins compress. And then you add on top of that, they're trying to expand through issuing shares, through acquisitions. You can understand then why, well, this company's stock is struggling this year. And so I'm not seeing any signs of anything changing here. The dynamics that are driving this lower are still present. And so as I mentioned earlier, you have a finite amount of capital. I would suggest putting it elsewhere. That is Elf Beauty Inc., ticker ELF. Let's keep things moving, see if we can answer one final question before the break.
Good morning, Justin and Luke. This is Josh Work calling from England. I just had a quick question about BTG. Since gold prices are doing so well and have kind of a bright, you know, short-term future here, medium-term future, I just kind of wanted to get your take on this stock. I've been in it and held it for a long time, kind of through thick and thin, and just wanted to get your opinion if I'm wasting my time or if I should kind of keep holding on here for the next bit of time. I appreciate it. Thanks.
So BTG is B2 Gold Corp. This is a gold mining company. So they operate several mines globally across various countries, the Philippines, Namibia, and it also holds exploration and development assets. So projects that are prospective mines that are not currently being operated. Year to date up 82.67%, up 66.58% over the past 52 weeks. But you know, when you look at this, you see, okay, revenue growth is kind of volatile, as is the commodity itself that it is exposed to. They have a little bit of copper exposure, a little bit of other metals exposure. And you know, I mean, their business is pretty well diversified across these three mine segments that they have. As expected, they have reported jumps in earnings, right? Net income was actually negative in 2024, projected to be positive 789 this year. Net margin supposed to jump back up to 18%. EBITDA margin been pretty stable over the past 3-4 years. And it's trading well within its range of where it has been from a relative valuation basis over the past couple of years. So, I mean, it doesn't seem to be too expensive. I just think you have to understand that most miners' results are heavily tied to the price of the commodities that they're mining. In this case, gold. And gold has had an incredible run-up over the past 18 months, meaning that if there's a significant pullback, well, you can see these revenues fall, you can see margins compress, you could see income go negative once again. That being said, right, you understand this volatility when you're investing in miners. And the dynamics that have driven gold prices higher, people de-dollarizing, people having a concern about political uncertainty, geopolitical issues. I don't know about you, but I don't think any of those things have been resolved. Central banks may continue to purchase gold. People may continue to purchase gold. That could continue to drive prices a bit higher, and companies like BTG stand to benefit. So I think it's good to get gold exposure. So long as you are comfortable with the volatility of owning the miner itself, I don't see a reason not to hold a company like BTG. Thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk. I'm Luke Guerrero. We have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after our final break, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce the Holiday Estate Bundle. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, InvestTalk. I was calling to get your thoughts on Warner Brothers Discovery. The symbol is WBD. I am currently a shareholder. I guess Netflix has made a bid to buy parts of the company, and now I guess there's another hostile takeover by Paramount, and was wondering what you think, if it would be a time to sell the stock or just to continue to hold. I'll be listening to your show for the answer. Thank you.
That's a great question. So we got a call earlier in the week about Warner Brothers Discovery, because obviously this is a hot button news, right? You have the mega conglomerate streaming giant Netflix coming in here, announcing they have an acquisition. And then you have Paramount coming in with a group of bidders, because remember, Paramount is a small company, right? Warner Brothers is a $73 billion market cap company. Paramount's like 15. Paramount Skydance, it's like a $15 billion company, right? And so what you have is not just Paramount. They're on it. You have a private equity firm. You have the president's son-in-law involved in that bid. You have Middle Eastern money involved in that bid. International investors involved in that bid. And so there could potentially be a bit of a bidding war here, right? We are currently sitting at $29.53 a share. The Paramount bid is about $30 a share. Typically what you see with mergers, that's my Siamese cat that likes to talk. Typically what you see with mergers when the market really is sure it's going to go through is, okay, well, then we agree that it's going to be worth $30 a share because it's going to be bought for cash. That's not what you have right now. You have it trading a bit below. Now, it did spike up today as there has been some support from some unions with the Paramount bid, worried about the antitrust issues related around taking a company like Netflix, consolidating the amount of bidders there are. And that's a lot of information, I know. But that's all to say that for you right now, you are making a choice to hold if you think that they're going to bid it higher. If you think either it's going to close at 30, which means you're going to make marginally more several years from now, or when it's determined that Paramount is successful, whenever it goes to 30, that's when you sell, when it's trading like cash. If you're going to hold at $29.50, that means that either you think it's worth making that extra 50 cents or that Netflix is going to bid higher. It's going to start a bidding war, what have you. You're no longer playing on the fundamentals of the company. You are playing on the likelihood of a successful merger. Now, mergers also take time. Things can be thrown. Wrenches can be thrown in the mix. And so for anybody that calls in asking about Warner Brothers, I don't know what the future is going to hold. Is it going to be Netflix who wins this bid? Is it going to be Paramount? Certainly, there are reasons why either might work. Either way, having this in your portfolio is less about the fundamentals, the growth, and the asset itself, and more about complicated merger and acquisition activity. That's Warner Brothers Discovery, ticker WBD. Wasn't the first call? Sure, it won't be the last. Well, you know, silver has had quite a surge as well, and I wanted to talk a little bit about how it's moved past $60 an ounce for the first time ever. It's been a historic rally from tightening supply and a powerful burst of investor demand. Now it's more than doubled since January after years of underproduction has collided with a weave of industrial and retail buying. But unfortunately, this is all the time we have in the show, so maybe we'll tackle that question, or rather that topic, next time. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another episode of Invest Talk. Justin and I thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get them at iTunes, you can get them at Spotify. And while you're over there, please be sure to leave us a rate and review. Also, we have YouTube exclusive content over on our YouTube channel, including lessons and webinars and a whole bunch of other stuff you're just going to have to check out for yourself. Just search Invest Talk with two T's. If today's show made you think about your specific financial circumstances and you are uncomfortable with how things currently are, or you think you can improve or want to know if you can even improve, head over to InvestTalk.com and hit the portfolio review button. Justin and I love speaking with people such as yourselves each and every day. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.